Blog Talk Radio.
Officer, on a firefighter,
These are people trying to help you. That's all they're trying to do is help you. Fighting Words wants to extend our deepest sympathies to the family of Mr. Henry Clay. Henry was a longtime beat writer, a sports beat writer for the Philadelphia Inquirer and the Philadelphia News. Henry was a man above men. Never bent his principles for anybody or anything. Always helped anybody he possibly can. And he passed away this Sunday and was buried yesterday. So we send our deepest regrets out to his family. Z, did you have a good week?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I had a pretty good week.
Good.
I'm glad
Brady,
to be back.
How about you?
Oh, yeah, I had a good week.
Yeah. See, I'm sorry I haven't interrupted you. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I just was saying I'm glad to be back on Fighting Words with you guys.
Yeah. We had a terrific game last week. We got all the way down to, I don't know if you saw it on CBS. We got down to the last minute. We were down by 14 points, and we won by 4. So, it was, arena football is a great sport. If anybody gets a chance to go out and see it, it's the cheapest sport you'll see in any venue right now. About just between $5 and $10 for a seat. It's only 50-yard field. You get right down, and after the game, the team comes out on the field and sits down, talks to people, and signs autographs. So if you have a venue in your neighborhood, Baltimore, Washington, Philadelphia, Tampa, or Cleveland, please make yourself available to go take a look at the teams. It's a great time. I certainly am glad that Bobby had passed away because, boy, we would have had one hell of a week this week.
Yeah, I just want to comment. You guys, the Carroll family, it's almost unfair to go against you guys because everything that you seek to do, you're good at. I mean, from you and your coaching to Brady and everything he does athletically and basically mentally to Mrs. Carroll, who's just one of the toughest women and most conditioned women around. I mean, you guys are just, it's almost unfair. You have a leg up on everything.
So we appreciate that, and we think very strongly of you and your family, and you know that. Your immediate family and your parents and your brother and I was going to say your sister, but you don't have one.
Thank you, man.
What do you think of the Pacquiao fight?
First of all, I just want to commend both fighters for their efforts. It was a tremendous, tremendous fight. Just the back and forth, give and take, and the ebb and flow. Both fighters in there, gutty, not quitting, and just giving their all. That's what boxing's about. And
right.
Even at this age, I'm glad to see that Manny Pacquiao, through difficulty and diversity, he had the mental, the experience, first of all, but he also still has that toughness and that will. And, you have a lot of guys who they reach that age, that sort of fame, that plateau to, the highest plateaus where you can go in any field. And these guys, a lot of them tend to kind of level off or not give it their all, especially during tough situations where they're like, well, I've been here. I've been through these situations. I don't keep needing to do it again. I've proven this already. Pacquiao did not do that. He did not fold. He came back and he put on a very, not really came back, but it just seemed early he was kind of taken aback by, what Horn was able to kind of get going, and he came, put on a wonderful performance. With that said, I gave the win to Horn, by at least two rounds. I gave it to Horn. I thought it was a clear win. I don't, and not to say, you know, some wins you could say, well, I gave it, you know, the guy, he may have won it by two rounds, but it could have gone either way. I don't think that at all about this one. Horn came out early and established that he was a bigger guy. That's what it looked like. He was a bigger athletic guy. After the first two punches that Horn threw at Pacquiao, and I saw the way Pacquiao reacted, I immediately said to Ty, Pacquiao's old. He got old tonight. He got older tonight. Pacquiao's reflexes have slowed and dulled. His feet, one of his bigger offensive weapons were his feet, how he could dart in, do what he wanted to do, and dart away from situations. His feet aren't there anymore. He reminded me a little bit of Gamboa in his last performance. Not as on the downhill as Gamboa, but it just right. That kind of reminded me of that. Horn came out and he won the first maybe three rounds to me. Pacquiao came back and he started landing some shots, but all throughout the course of the fight, Horn seemed to be setting the tone. He seemed, you know, he fought when Horn wanted to fight. Pacquiao didn't establish. He wasn't first. And I was noticing Pacquiao found himself in a little more of a counter role to where Horn would get off first and Pacquiao would try to catch Horn doing whatever. Within that, the heads started clashing, just within that. And both met Horn, as far as that goes, he was coming in, hands down, trying to throw at Pacquiao's head and body, especially the body. That's when the heads would clash because Pacquiao, finding himself in a counter role, is trying to throw punches that he's necessarily not used to throwing. So, you know, some things, and not to mention, one is orthodox and one is southpaw. So everything tends to clash when they fight. You know, their feet get tangled, knees bump, heads clash. Right. I mean, things like that happen when those two styles of fighters fight. Pacquiao won the middle rounds tonight, and it looked like he was going to go away with it. He stunned Horn in the ninth. But thought, you know, he had come on in the 10th. But Horn got back. He recovered well. And he got back to establishing what he was establishing earlier in the fight.
Right.
So yeah. I think Horn, the latter rounds, the championship rounds, Horn won to me. Now there's news that the WBO is going to rescore the fight. They're assigning judges to rescore the fight. This has no bearing on the outcome.
Right.
It has absolutely no bearing on the title Horn just recently won from Pacquiao, or you know, or anything with the judges. This judging panel has nothing to do with this. But if the fight were reviewed and anything was found fraudulent with any of the scoring or the judges, then it would be an issue. But as far as that goes, one score was 117 to 111, and two other scores were 115 to 113. I agreed with the 115 to 113 scores for Horn. All of it was unanimous for Horn. I agreed with the 115-113 decision. I thought that's exactly what the fight was. Now, I don't understand the uproar, and for some reason, Teddy Atlas went on a vigilante rampage about the unfairness of the fight and how the judges should be this and that. And Tim Bradley, he timidly kind of tried to defend what happened in the ring. And one thing is this. It's one thing if a boxing fan goes on at the diatribe of words. But as a boxing person, especially relied on to be a boxing specialist, that fight was close, and to uproar that it wasn't, and that it was a Pacquiao blowout, and that it's a travesty and it's corruption all over the place as far as that fight is concerned. I have a problem with that. I have a problem with that because the fight was a close fight. Nobody can deny that. No one can deny that. As I say, 115 to 113 in my scorebooks is a close fight. So, but for a guy to it almost ridiculed Horn's effort. It not almost. It did not give credence to what Horn did. And that you can't tear down a guy. Forget who's the headliner and who's the opponent, the underdog. It's about your effort after the fight. You can do all of that before the fight. You can tear him down and all of that before the fight. But after that effort that Horn put in, you don't do that. I don't think you should do that. It's wrong to do that. Because as a close fight, now you put in a question, you know, whether, you know, now you can say it can go one way or another with a close fight. But to say that it's corruption, that implies that Pacquiao, that Horn would have needed to knock Pacquiao out, you know, to win. And that wasn't the case. I mean, in a close fight, that was not the case.
Brady, you had an observation on when you watched it. What were your observations?
Well, I mean, like, I think Pacquiao, he had a chance to win, though, you know, like Horn, because every time Horn threw a huge punch and Pacquiao, he dodged it and he came under his fist and he tried to throw a counter punch, Horn put him in, like, I think Horn put him in, like, he put him in, like, kind of a headlock. He kind of did it with his elbow, like, around his head. I mean, it might be a little biased because I like Pacquiao, but I don't know. I think that could have helped him win the fight, you know, if he could have gotten in those counter punches, because there was a lot. There was a lot of them. Watching the highlights, there was a lot of them. And,
Yeah, it's one of the controversies that they're having. Whether Horn used his elbows too much. He headbutted three or four times during the fight. And, you know, but you got a guy who is much taller than Pacquiao, and so that's going to happen. And like Z was saying, he was a southpaw. So, again, that's going to have some kind of a balance type of thing in the middle of the fight, but and I did read the read that article where they were going to get nine judges together and sit down and score the fight again, and I'm glad you made that clear to everybody, Z, that it's not going to mean anything to the outcome of the fight, but maybe it'll stop the bickering back and forth that seems to be going on. Horn's manager certainly took Teddy Atlas to task about his bias during the fight, and has made a couple major statements on that. So, but I guess that's the next one. Well, let's. I know Chris was on with us on Wednesday night, and he's got. Let's see if we can get him. I'm going to keep everybody on the line. I'm just going to call him. another one of his favorites, Yuri Fury is coming back in. Did you see the record of the guy he's fighting?
Yuri Fury?
Yeah.
No, I haven't.
He's fighting a guy by the name of Camille. What happened here?
I expect his record to be low. I mean, not great just for Yuri to get back from injury.
Hey, we worked outside all day. Well, you guys, ready? Are you on tonight?
Yeah.
All right, whatever you want, put me on.
Yeah, we're on, Chris. We're just talking about the Pacquiao fight.
Oh, okay.
How's it going, Dr. Chris?
Pretty good, guys.
Yeah.
What are you thinking
about Pacquiao?
Talking
about the Pacquiao fight?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you what I thought. I was amazed that a guy his age and his size could fight that big kid, that big, strong kid, and just last. I mean, he took a pounding, too. And, you know, he came back, he tried hard, but he just, you know, he gave it all he had in that next to last round there, whatever it was, and then he just didn't have anything left. But I was amazed that he could do as well as he did. That guy was not an easy touch for him. I was a big, strong young man. I was impressed with Pacquiao.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know which way the decision could have gone. Teddy Atlas kept chirping the whole time that Pacquiao was ahead. But, you know, I don't know that it was that far out of reach. I thought it was anybody's fight, after, you know, with two rounds to go. So, what do you guys think?
Yeah, Z was talking about, you know, he thought it was a good fight. He scored it for Horn. You know, and everybody else has agreed that it looked like it was good. That's the way it went.
The last two rounds won it for Horn.
Mm-hmm.
But he was a big, aggressive kid. You know what,
mm-hmm.
Pacquiao, you know, it's amazing that he could put up a fight. He's a small
mm-hmm.
man with mm-hmm. small bones. I mean, it's hard fighting a guy that big. And I was just, I said, you know, that guy has a lot of heart. And when things were right, he was one hell of a fighter. I think his best days are behind him now. That's all.
Yeah.
Yeah. And definitely, I think his best physical days. As I was saying earlier, Dr. Chris, his reactions are pretty much gone from what anything they used to be.
Yeah, right.
This was good.
Not the fighter he was.
Not physically at all. What he is, he's still pretty good mentally. He still knows. He's still crafty enough. The only thing is, physically, he couldn't use his feet the way, you know, Pacquiao's accustomed to. And Horn was able to get in on the inside. By nature, Pacquiao's not an inside fighter.
Yeah, Horn leaned on him the whole fight. Roughhoused him, pushed him around.
Yeah.
Headbutted him.
Yeah.
Christ, I mean, could have been, you know, how many times did he get headbutted and banged in the damn head? Christ, he had blood coming from everywhere. But the little bugger recovered, won that one round. I thought he was going to knock that guy the hell out of that. So I think the third round from the end, maybe round 10, around there. But, you know, the other kid was so damn big and strong, and he hadn't had anybody. He's leaning on a guy that really isn't a welterweight. You know, he's up there wrestling. I'd be willing to bet Horn came in real heavy that fight, too.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what his weight was. I didn't find a damn fight that quick. And I don't know what Horn's weight was, but I guarantee it was over. He looked like he weighed 160 pounds. The big, I mean, he was big.
He was quite a bit bigger than Pacquiao.
Yeah. But it was nice to see, you know, a fight that didn't count that much. I mean, neither one of them are really, you know, number one contenders anymore. But it was just a hell of an entertaining fight, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
I liked it.
Good.
They're talking about another rematch. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Oh, they're talking about another rematch or a rematch in Australia. How do you think that'll go, guys?
I'd stay the hell out of there. He ain't going to get. Pacquiao's not going to beat anybody in Australia. He's not going to get a close call down there. And I don't think Horn has anything to fear. He's going to come out, you know, swinging from the rooftops. I mean, what the hell? Pacquiao can't hurt him that much. You know what I mean? Cuffed his eye up a little bit, you know. But. You know what, guys? I haven't talked to you since Kovalev lost.
I gotta
tell you, that was a disgraceful performance on Kovalev's part. He was looking for the exit door around the sixth or seventh round. He didn't really want to fight. Everybody said, oh, he was ahead. He looked terrible to me. He's not a tough guy in my book. If you want to go back down through the years and look for tough guys in the ring, he was supposed to be so damn tough. Tough as Sonny Liston in the ring and meaner than Ray Robinson out of the ring. I remember Jim Lampley saying that. He sure and hell didn't look like it, you know, when he had some good competition. I was terribly disappointed in Kovalev's performance. I was shocked. He can't box. He carries his left hand too low. His right hand's extended out. He got a terrible technique. And I thought, how the hell did this guy get this far anyway? I mean, they were ranking him up there number one in, you know, blah, 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 number one fighter in the world. He's an awful boxer. I hate to have him train someone, my son, let's put it that way, or something like that. I mean, he can't train anybody the way he fights. His right hand was nothing more than a push, and he wasn't doing good. He was getting close to Ward, and he was so close he didn't have any room for his right hand. He was, like, pushing with it. I couldn't tell you how disappointed I was in Kovalev. You know, what do you guys think? You got any Kovalev fans on that side?
No. About the fight, though, two things. Footwork and body shots. With Ward, from the middle of the first fight to the end, he essentially continued on. And it seemed like Kovalev's body was still going on from that first fight. Literally, like, everything, all the punishment was going on from that first fight. It literally looked like a continuation to me. One thing I will say is Ward sacrificed jabbing with Kovalev, which would give the judges the impression that Kovalev was scoring more points. Mm-hmm. What eventually happened was that's exactly what happened. It turned into a sport for Kovalev and a fight for Ward. So Kovalev, right, I've seen a guy jabbing, trying to keep a guy off, trying to keep a guy from not getting inside, touching on his body. Ward got inside, and people talk about Ward's punching power. Ward, I kind of equate him with Tim Brown. These guys, they can't punch you in the face right directly in the nose to make it bleed. They have no facial punching power. None. I don't understand. I've seen Ward turn punches over, and they don't have an effect. I'll get back to that one later. One thing about those two guys, they will kill you to the body. When they get inside, they will rip, they will turn it over, they will twist their whole body, their feet will start, they'll start, you know, turning on their toes, hips and shoulders, right into your guts. That kind of instinct, they instinctually do that. And Ward, that kind of instinct, especially against a guy who can't really defend against that, whose only defense is really range. Kovalev is not a defensive fighter. He's a range fighter. So when it really comes to defense is to move his feet. Now, if you can maybe angularly move your feet in a different direction, you can stay inside for a little bit longer. That's what Ward was doing. He would take a few jabs, but that was it. He would take a few jabs, he would get inside, and he would tear Kovalev up on the inside. Kovalev got hit with a good body shot and backed off and looked at the referee. Tony Weeks told him to keep fighting. They kept fighting. And Ward, Kovalev, it looked like Ward dipped down, and Kovalev put his whole right down, which was down mm-hmm. anyway. And Ward came across and hit him with a right cross that I had never seen. I thought Ward never had in his arsenal. That was
a hell of a right hand he hit him with.
That was a heck of a right hand, and he set it up perfectly, put his whole body into it. That got Kovalev kind of, you know, like, okay, I can't defend his body or head.
And
I think when he hit him with that, that was the quitting moment for Kovalev. I think
Kovalev checked out
right then. He was done. Anything else afterward, you can't blame the ref. You can't blame Ward. Kovalev checked out. He checked out.
Exactly. He was looking for the exit door. How the hell do I get the hell out of here before I get killed? You know? And he doesn't like to get hit in the body, that big baby. You know? He got hit in the body. Christ, you might think he was dead. And then Ward just threw two intentional hard body shots at him. If I was a ref, I would have never called the fight off. Wasn't that long ago. Nobody was in risk of their life. I would have loved to see Kovalev go down and get knocked right on his ass and get counted out for the stinking performance that he put. You know, I mean, you know, I just was so annoyed. We had a couple guys over that night, and I expected a much better fight. And then my buddy says, "Well, he was ahead. Kovalev was ahead." I said, "Ahead, hell, the hell fight you watching? I didn't think he was ahead in that fight when it was stopped." But you know something? We got to stop these referees. These referees got to realize people pay good money to watch these fights. Let them in. Kovalev was not, like I say, was not in danger. He got hit in the body. Nobody ever died from a body shot. You're not going to get a brain concussion from a body shot. Let him stay there and see how tough he is. Big shot, you know?
And I thought that the ref should have given him a standing eight count. I thought that he could have got a standing eight count.
Because
the ropes were holding him up, literally. Yeah. He was sitting on the ropes when the fight was called. And I thought that you could have counted that as a knockdown, could have given him a standing eight count.
Yeah, not stop the fight. And how close to the end of the fight were we? I mean, to the end of the round. We were pretty close, weren't we? Weren't they close to the end of the round in that fight?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yes, they were.
Yeah, they were almost like, there wasn't more than 10 seconds, 15 seconds left. I don't think so. I don't think there was more than that left. But I just wanted to see, you know, Kovalev passed himself off as this tough guy. Well, it didn't show to me that night. When he faced some good competition, he's just another fighter with a poor technique. That's all. You know, tough, hard-hitting Russian with no technique. You know? And I thought for the length of time he was over here, he should have improved his technique a little bit. Who in the hell carries her left hand that low? And
block a body shot with it. You carried it that low for no purpose. He didn't stop anything to the body.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, we're joined by a guy who just had a nice win up there at the Nord Temple in Wilmington. I'm sorry, Newcastle, I guess that is. Joey Tiberi. Joey, how you doing?
Good, good. What's up, fellas?
Good.
Hey, Joe.
Joe, we're looking now. I did notice that the press has given you a new moniker. You want to tell everybody what that is? Your new nickname?
I don't know. You might have to tell me.
It was Knockout.
Well, it just happened to work out. It just happened to work out that night. I don't want to carry that because then everybody's gonna hold me to it. You know, if you don't do it, then you know, then there comes a whole another issue with that.
Yeah.
I'll just keep it basic where everybody knows me as. You know.
So, Joey, Brady was mentioning there earlier, as I told you, that you look like you're in the best shape we've ever seen you in.
I felt good.
To
be honest with you guys, I didn't feel like I was in the best shape of my life. I looked at it as a couple different ways. It was hard because I felt like I wasn't as in good a shape as I was for the fight in February under the Roy Jones card.
Mm-hmm.
That fight, obviously, I was living and breathing in my work schedule. Everything was working perfect for that fight. And this fight,
mm-hmm.
between my work schedule and promoting and trying to make time for everything, it just literally, I was putting way too much time into the promoting aspect of it, which had to be
mm-hmm.
done. But it was more or less, you know, my first main event, and, you know, it was at home. And, you know, it was just, I don't know, my mentality was a little different for this one. I don't know. Everything just worked out good as far as the fight went, and you know, I was just more relaxed, more, and everything just, like I said, everything just went and played
mm-hmm.
its part, worked out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, hey, Joey, this is Zito. Congratulations on your win.
Thank you.
I wanted to ask, how did you feel as far as technically during the fight?
It was different because, like, I'm usually not a big – I'm not big on to, like, watching, like, film on my guys because I think I told you guys before, I've told you in the past, that I've had a bad experience with it where the one fight I did study the film, the guy came out totally different and I had to readjust everything. So I don't try to, like – I try not to, like, study the film too hard. But for this guy, like, I really – he was bigger than me. He was longer than me. He's been in there with some really good guys, top prospects. So, like, it was definitely a step up for me. And I studied his tape a lot more than I usually do. And, I mean, it was just I was more defensive. And it was weird because he came out and started throwing jabs. And all the videos I saw him, he never threw a jab. So, like, he caught me off guard. So he kept peppering me with it, and I knew he had the reach on me, and it was just like a matter of trying to time his jab but get out of the way of his right hand, because I knew that's all he was trying to load up on. And and like the videos I saw before, he would try to throw like, you know, a little jab but then come behind it and throw like a nice little combo. So I was like trying to feel him out, and he just kept peppering me with his jab. But I knew he did, in the videos I did see, like, I knew he didn't like the bang. And I knew once I get inside, that was what we worked on. Me and my dad, we worked on the body a lot, going to the body, to the head, and everything. Just once he got inside, it was a whole different game. But he kept me, for the majority of the first round, he kept me at bay and just kept peppering me with his jab. And then, you know, after that round, we had the game plan, and just, you know, it all, that's what we did, made the changes.
Okay. Joey, your father developed a great body punching game late in his career. I'd say about midway through his career, he used to return. If somebody threw a right hand at him, he would turn away from it and return an uppercut when the guy was in a forward position, in a vulnerable position. He knocked more guys silly with that damn punch. Carmen Graziano taught him that. And Joe worked at the perfection. I've seen him working against good, top-notch fighters. Got away with it. I mean, and you know, the other guy that used to do that a lot, it was a guy named Ray Doakes. I think his name was Ray Doakes. He got the big heavyweight. And he was champion for a while. He used the same counterpunch that your dad used. And I'm wondering if you're doing – I haven't seen you fight yet, Joey, but I'm wondering if that's worked into your game. That counter right hand, it's like a right hand uppercut counter. Has he worked with you on that?
Oh, we worked on it. It just hasn't, we haven't had to really rely on it yet. It hasn't been presented to where it's been where I had to actually use it. Because I know when he fought Youngblood Williams, that's what he used when he rolled a lot with him. And,
rolled with the punch, counter with that damn uppercut, catch you right on the damn chin. and did a hell of a job with it. I got a big kick out of that because nobody expected it. There used to be a fighter in Philly, and you've heard me mention his name. His name was Moon Mullins, next middleweight champion in the world. And he liked to sound off, you know, in the dressing room. Had a lot of mouth, a lot of chirping went on. He was telling everybody he was going to knock Joe's ass. Joe didn't have a chance against him, all this stuff. And Elvin Thompson was there with another fighter, and he said, well, you better pay attention to this boy because he can hit, he knows how to hit, and you better pay good attention to this guy because you're 14-0. Joe at the time had 25 fights or so. Joe knocked him the hell out and never heard from Moon Mullins another day in his life. He was so shocked that Joe knocked him out, and he became bodyguard for the mayor. Yeah, that's what he did. He said, the hell with fighting. I'm going to become a bodyguard. He worked for the rest of his life here as a bodyguard for the mayor of Philly and stayed in that position. But I haven't seen Joe for a long time, but that was his most effective punch. He turned into one hell of a body puncher. I'm going to say this. My son started out, he was a shorter fellow, and he had one hell of a left hook to the body. He knocked guys dead with it. And he wasn't a big, and Joe and him were training. Joe was still an amateur. Then all of a sudden, Joe turned pro, and he liked the idea of being a body puncher. And he started early, but you know what? It takes a while to learn how to hit to the body and when, because when you throw a left hook to the body, you're vulnerable to a counter right hand. You got to be careful. It's got to be timed just right. And I think your dad's a hell of a trainer now. I think he's a hell of a trainer. I've watched him train some kids, take him from nothing and turn him into, you know, national amateur champions. I mean, Joe, you got a good trainer. You got a good man in your corner. That's all I'm saying.
Thank you.
So, I mean, you know, and a nice man on top of everything else. I talked to him on the phone. I gave him a call. We're still working on that Hall of Fame thing. I had a couple health things I had to pay attention to, and I didn't get down there, but I'm definitely going to try to hook up with him this week, have lunch, and start this Hall of Fame thing again. The sheriff's going to help him on that. No way in hell that he doesn't belong in the Delaware Hall of Fame. And then you can follow in his footsteps. Be the first father-son combo.
Yeah.
Lead the way.
Joe, what's next for you?
We talked. We're trying to lock in sometime in October. And then see where that goes. We haven't confirmed anything yet, but we talked, and that's what we're trying to look at to do now. The next move. Let the summer blow. It's hard with these. I mean, this show actually wasn't as bad as we thought. I mean, we had like 400 to 500 people there, which is pretty good. But we have to be better as on the promotion side. We have to do better. With our first show, we did everything we could, but now we got a lot of positive feedback, and it's just a matter of getting some guys in the car. We had three guys make their debut, so I mean. With there nothing else going on in Delaware, we're hoping that the next one could be even bigger and better. So I mean, it's got to be. There's really no can't do. We have to be better than the first show. So we're looking to go in October. Just waiting to lock in a date and go from there.
Good. And we're going to call Todd in a few minutes, and okay. He's your promotion partner, right?
Yes.
And you had tied in with this show. You tied in with somebody else.
Yeah, we tied in with Diane Fisher with D-League Promotions. She's more or less mentoring us, and teaching us the ropes, because when we had our press conference, she actually said, since Delaware doesn't have a commission, she said that once we're able and comfortable with running our own show, she was going to run for a commission in Delaware, which would be huge. We had to fly in Alabama, put them all up, and if we don't use them, we've been using Virginia. So if we can get a commission in Delaware, that would just make life so much easier. So can't put a time limit on that, but we gotta take one show at a time and see how it goes, and just build up some local guys, and just hope for the best.
Good. Brady, you got any questions?
Oh, no.
Okay. I'm going to go off the air here for a minute. Here's one I want to ask all of you. Huey Fury is going to come back in the ring. He's coming in with a guy by the name of Kamille Solikowski. Now, look up at his record. He's got a 4-10-2. How in the hell can you expect to have a decent crowd with something like that?
Well, this is Fury's come back from injury fight. So I guess this is, the guy's a competitor. Yeah, I mean, he has 2 fists, he has 4 wins. So you can't really discount anyone. But, this kind of tells you the level of, Fury's confidence right now. I mean, he still could not be fully recovered. So, but, if he doesn't wipe this guy out, well,
it's almost comical, isn't it? To put a guy out like that and expect to draw a crowd. But the thing here, the people aren't going to come to see a great fight. They're going to come to see what the hell's left of this guy who had so much potential at one time. And that's what they're going to look for. And that'll probably help him draw. That'll be the draw. What's this guy got left? Can he come back to what he once was? I mean, or did he blow it, you know? I personally think he blew it, and I don't know if he could return. I mean, I never seen a guy destroy a career so fast in my life. You're talking about Tyson Fury, right?
His brother.
His Fury. Brother?
Yeah.
What's his name? What's he go by?
Fury.
I didn't even know. I thought you were talking about Tyson Fury, the champ.
No, this is Huey Fury, his nephew.
Huey Fury. Oh, Christ.
Yeah.
Huey Fury.
Hey, Todd,
Huey Fury? I can't even say it right. Huey Fury. What the hell? Oh, my God. Is that what the hell we got left? Huey Fury? Oh, Christ.
We're joined by Todd, who is Joey's partner in the promotion. And Todd, here's a promotional question for you. We have a guy coming in trying to fight. Huey Fury is going to fight this guy. His name is Kamil Sulikowski. He's from Poland. He's got a 4-10-2 record. How do you draw a crowd for that?
How do you draw a crowd? I'm still practicing drawing a crowd for anybody.
you couldn't draw flies with that kind of record.
I guess you just got to get your BS skills up and network yourself. And I hope you got enough friends that you haven't upset already to come out and watch you do your thing.
Brady, what do you think?
I think it's a thing for him to warm up for the Joseph Parker fight in September. So that's what I think. I mean,
okay.
If you're fighting a guy like that, I don't really think it's a big, huge pay-per-view fight.
Yeah, it's a paper can fight. It's more like a tomato can fight.
hey, Francis. What is Huey Fury? I don't know anything about the guy. I mean, I thought I watched a little bit of boxing, but Jesus Christ, what's Huey Fury's record?
You'll have to go back and check that, Chris.
I don't think it can't be very extensive. I've never even, I mean, I knew that, all I know is that his brother was attempting to become a fighter. But I don't, I mean, I don't, is he as big and dumb as his brother?
Yes.
Not as big. And
not
a bit more injured. Yeah, and a bit more injured.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. He had a fight. When was it? Supposed to be for May, I thought, with Joseph Parker, but he had gotten injured somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And now Parker's going to be Parker's going to be sitting ringside, according to a boxing 24/24. To watch this fight, can you imagine what it's going to be like when he gets in the ring with Parker?
The tickets are free.
Yeah. But,
we'll give him a chance. We'll what the hell? We got enough else to do. If we're going to watch Conor McGregor and what's the call? We sure in hell can watch Huey Fury in this corner. Huey Fury. It's got to be a comical fight. With a name, you know. Well, what? Now that we're talking, do you think Conor McGregor and I'm listening to Bob Arum. He's talking about hitting close to $1 billion on his fight. Or is Bob Arum just blowing smoke, like he usually does?
Yeah.
You know. I know. First he mentioned $500 billion.
Let's go with our resident promoters here now. Todd, what's your thoughts? Can he get $1 billion out of this fight?
I think it'll break records. I don't know what's the most selling pay per view to date. That was Mayweather and Pacquiao, right? That was $100 house.
$100,000.
I'm pretty sure.
$100 million. Over $100 million.
Yeah, $4 million. Yeah, I think it was in the high fours, I want to say, high 400, four point something. I think it'll be record breaking. I think, myself, you know, I think we all agree that anybody in the boxing world understands and agrees that McGregor doesn't stand a chance. But I think with a personality and a character like McGregor and a personality and a character like Mayweather, I think people that, you know, no matter what the outcome, no matter how sure the outcome is, I think people are going to spend the money. And I think maybe a lot of guys, a lot of UFC fans that could care less about the boxing world and typically don't spend money on pay-per-views to watch guys like Pacquiao, Mayweather do their thing. I think you're going to bring that crowd in. So I believe it's going to be, I believe it has the potential to set some records.
It does. It has the potential to set, it will set records. I'm pretty sure just because of you're crossing fans. And anytime you cross fans like that, you tend to get the most loyal from both sides. With that said, I mean, this is something that doesn't advance anything. It doesn't do anything for the UFC. It doesn't do anything for boxing. It's an event all in and of itself. It's an ex-boxer against a present UFC fighter, a present mixed martial artist. The fight, as I said before, this fight would be a lot more interesting if it was boxing and grappling mixed, or, you know, something like that, something that kind of evens the playing field. But as it is, and as I'm always equated to, you cannot put a basketball player on a baseball field and expect him to be an all-star baseball player. Conor McGregor is an MMA fighter who has pretty good striking. First of all, he was outboxed by Nate Diaz in a fight. That's one thing to be said. He was outboxed in an MMA fight when he lost. The second thing is this. Conor McGregor, if you give me a boxer of the same weight just coming out of the amateurs with a halfway decent record, I wouldn't favor Conor McGregor to beat him. Just because you're dealing with a guy right now who's focused on one thing, or focused on the upper body strike with your hands. No elbows, no headbutts, none of that. Just straight punches. And when you're in MMA, you have to focus on so much else. And even in boxing, when you're in boxing, guys have habits in boxing that get them hurt. So a guy might, you know, technically – you know, you train to keep your left hand up, and you might see it in the first two rounds, but come the third round, the guy's, you know, human, he's a creature of habit. He's dropping his left hand. So, you know, that's just what's instinctually in him. So that is just with a boxer, with an average good boxer, that's the case. Conor McGregor is not that. How many amateur boxing matches has he had? That's my point exactly. Is the guy, he's going over to another sport. And he's not fighting a middle-of-the-road guy. He's fighting, his only benefit is that he's bigger, he's longer, and that Floyd has been off for 2 years. But Floyd's been off for 2 years, and he's been boxing essentially since he's been two years old. So that's... It's kind of a non-comparison. People can say Conor's faster, but not in boxing terms. He can be faster, but if he's throwing a hook and Floyd's throwing straight, who's faster then?
Absolutely.
It's a science. It's a science, and you have the professor with the lab coat. He's essentially fighting a janitor.
Joey, what's your thoughts?
It's easy. It's Conor McGregor's bullshit. His talking, his shit talking got him a payday. That's all it is. I mean, and the people that don't know boxing think that McGregor has a chance. I mean, everybody has a puncher's chance, but when it comes down to it, Floyd beat some of the best boxers, if not at least in this era and generation, like he beat some of the best boxers in the world, and McGregor. I mean, it's too easy. I mean, people are just building it up, which is whatever. I mean, McGregor's getting a payday. That's at the end of the day, mm-hmm. he's not going to see that money doing UFC. So, and Floyd, he's just going to make a couple more million and then go buy whatever he's going to do, and then he'll get his 50th win. And, I mean, obviously, you know, he's not going to fight nobody at this time. Or in the last couple of years, he's not going to fight anybody that has a chance to beat him. So, right. I mean, and I'm a Floyd fan. Like, I mean, I definitely – that's somebody that, and you know, took over the whole sport and made a whole new – you know, he's a role model. I mean, everybody wants to be Floyd. Mm-hmm. You know, he's doing everything on, you know, the business end, the promoting end, the fighting end. I mean, every which way he does anything, he's making money. He's got mm-hmm. – he's going to have Gervonta Davis fight the co-main event. That's his guy. Yeah. He's going to have a hand on his pocket. I mean, he's going to build – he's going to put the whole undercard of the money team guys. So he's going to be making – he's getting paid on top of his contract and everything, the TV sales and everything else. He's going to be making money every which way. So that's all
he's
it is
a genius, for sure.
Yeah, he's absolutely.
Cool promotion.
And that's all. And McGregor, I mean, what's a loss to him? He's not a boxer. This is his first boxing fight. I mean – who, you know, the only thing he's going to really do is now any other boxers might try to challenge some other MMA guys, and it's just going to keep dragging out, and everybody's going to, it's going to open up something new for the sport, or I don't know if you call it a sport because you got two different guys, two different sports, you know, I mean, yeah, it's going to do this thing where, you know, I don't know, I mean, I'm not paying for it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to watch it. If somebody streams
right.
it, I might watch it. But, I mean, it's not, you know,
yeah.
it's just not, you know, especially after, you know, boxing's losing people, especially coming off that Manny Pacquiao fight. I mean, I didn't watch that
absolutely.
One because I never even heard of the guy he was fighting. Why would I,
mm-hmm.
why am I going to watch that? You know what I mean? If I'm going to watch them, I'm going to watch the Canelo and Triple G fight. That's something that's
oh,
going to
yeah.
bring boxing back up. But you can't keep taking steps backwards and then doing these fights and then expect it. It doesn't make sense. I mean, it makes sense to me because at the end of the day, it's all money talking. So, I mean, it makes sense. You know, obviously not everybody's in that position where they can do that. And, I mean, what are you going to do? It's already set in stone and people are already hyped over it. All I'm saying is whoever wants to bet McGregor, I'll match it. I'm not going with the Vegas odds, so we can, you know,
well,
help me get a vacation going.
George,
me and Ty got to make some vacation money now. You know what I mean?
There
yeah.
you go.
Joey, let me tell you, if you were fighting Conor, I'd bet on you.
Thank you. Well, if we're going to go that high, we could. I'll step in the ring with Floyd. I mean, just give me some time to train. I mean, what's the worst that happens? Is he beats me? I mean, come on. It's nothing, you know. A loss is a loss. It all depends on how much you want to get paid for it.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
It'd be the
easiest
30 seconds of your life,
wouldn't
it, Joe? Yeah. I mean, I think if, like, in like, 10 years, they're going to be, like, boxers and MMA fighters, like, fighting wrestlers and, like, WWE people. Like, actually, my brother showed me a video yesterday. Floyd Mayweather was fighting a WWE star or something, and it was weird because it was like he was like picking him up and he was trying to box him. It was weird. It's all fake.
Yep.
The thing here, nobody's mentioned yet. We have nothing to go on. You know, we've never seen this before. It's the same as somebody was going to fight a kangaroo. You don't know what the hell is going to happen. You know, where are you going to go? We got a kangaroo fighting a human being, and what the hell? Who do you bet on? You know,
I'm betting on the kangaroo.
Yeah, don't kick. If you kick, you know he's going to kill somebody, the kangaroo. So I don't know. You got nothing to go on here. It's strictly speculation. And unfortunately, or fortunately, nobody's going to get hurt financially. What the most you can lose is $100. So, you know, a lot of people say, what the hell, $100? I blew that on crazy women and other things. You know, I can blow it on a fight. I got less, you know, chasing women. I got less. I didn't get my money's worth all the time. So what the hell can you do?
Wow.
Yeah,
money away.
One of the best comparisons
have a good
I've
time.
Heard
don't take it serious. And enjoy it. Oh, Christ.
Hey, Todd, there's a question for you. Now, how do you how do you keep people's perspective going on this? Well, that we've already beat this one to death. Let's just go on to your next. What's your next venue that you're going to go to? Are you going to stay at North Temple, or would you go to a bigger place, or what?
Well, our goal is we have some pretty nice venues like the Chase Center in downtown Wilmington. Joey fought.
Right.
That's where Joey's pay-per-view
right.
fight was at, the Roy Jones card. That's a nice venue. We hope to get there in the near future. They also have Kansas City Royals has a farm team, Wilmington Blue Rocks, and that's a nice
right.
outdoor stadium. You know, we have goals like
yeah.
that. 100% in the future that we'd like to do. Right now we have a pretty cool laid back relationship with the Shriners and the people that are in charge and running the temple, and we plan on staying there for a little while as we continue to get our feet wet and continue to build. You know, we have a lot of talent in Delaware, and Joey's one of the only boxers in a long time that have had the opportunity and the privilege to actually, you know, get in the ring on a somewhat consistent basis, build a record, build a following, and network
right.
themselves. So we want to get these guys an opportunity to do the same, and, you know, build their records, build a following, sell some tickets, and feel good about themselves and fall more in love with the sport. And right now we feel like the best opportunity to be able to do that for ourselves and for these guys and the community is to stay at the temple for right now. So our next one we're planning is going to be in sometime in October. We're hoping. And
good.
A good thing about the last fight was all our local guys won. They look good. They got a little ego boost. Got some confidence. We had some debuts and they went well. And we couldn't have asked for more than that, you know. And hopefully that brings a lot of positivity and a lot of success for us and for the fighters in the future.
Good. Well, we wish you guys a lot of luck. I got one last question before, because we're up against our time limit here, but the Figueroa and Guerrero fight. Z, let's go around. See, we'll start with you and see what your choice is on
that
one.
I couldn't hear you.
We're going to take a vote here on the Figueroa and Guerrero. They're fighting tonight, and I want to see what everybody's thoughts are on that one. Z?
Omar Figueroa and Robert Guerrero. Okay.
Yes.
I think that Robert Guerrero, his best days are behind him.
Right.
On any day, he's better than Omar. I didn't figure it out yet. But Omar's big and young. And right now, Guerrero doesn't need that. Not where he's at in his career right now. So
I
just think it's going to be a rough fight for Guerrero. He's going to lose. It's probably by decision because Guerrero's tough, but I think he's going to lose by decision.
Okay. Chris?
Well, I'm as you guys are talking, I'm going to pick Figueroa, but I got one thing to say. Sooner or later, the public is going to see Conor McGregor boxing. He's going to have to put the gloves in. And if they think they're going to put a $500 million draw, you know, on this thing, sooner or later we're going to see what Conor McGregor's got. Somebody's going to he's got to get in the ring, put the gloves on, and start boxing. And if he looks horrible, you're going to have a dent put in the gate, you know. I mean, but if he looks great... If he looks great, then it might encourage the fight. I'm sitting there thinking, how the hell do you know what Conor McGregor's got until you put the gloves on with? So I'm anxious to see. Let me see Conor McGregor in there with a young professional welterweight, you know, and let's see what he can do. Then you'll say, well, he's got no chance, or he does have a chance. Now I mean they can't hide the fact that if he can fight. You know, that's good. But you can't hide the fact that if he can't fight, you can't hide it. It's going to show. So that's what I think is going to solve a lot of skepticism. Let's see what he's got. You know,
okay.
As far as Figueroa goes, in your question, I got to go with Figueroa in this fight. I don't think I don't think Guerrero had much of a punch anyway. I mean, he can absorb a lot of punishment. But I don't like he said, his best years are behind him. He's got nowhere to go. He's got, you know, make a few bucks, and he's never going to be champion again. So, you know. But I'm anxious to see McGregor with the gloves on, with some fighter, some welterweight. You know, let's see what he can do. If he gets dropped and knocked on his rear end, the fight won't draw peanuts. You know. So it's going to be interesting to see. You can talk and talk about money. Sooner or later, the public has to see what the hell is what's this guy got. You know. Mm-hmm. So, going to be interesting. So,
Joey, what's your thought on the Figueroa-Guerrero fight?
For Guerrero, he's a tough fighter. He's a rugged guy. I mean, but he doesn't, like everybody else is saying, he doesn't really have anything to prove. I mean, Figueroa's got, you know, he's up and coming. He's younger. He's hungry. I mean, it's a more beneficial fight for him. I'm not going to count Guerrero out, but I'm leaning towards, Guerrero, like everybody says, he's at the end of his career. He made his name. He's getting a payday. He loses, he might get another one. If he wins, well, you know, then he'll get a bigger payday. So, I like Omar. So.
Okay. Todd?
Yeah, If I had to, I don't think Guerrero's, going to come out on top either. There's a reason I don't gamble. If I had to bet, I wouldn't put my money on him, but I've been wrong. You know, I would have put my money on Pacquiao, and I would have put, and I was wrong about, what was that last fight when we all sat down together, last month and did an interview where there was a fight that night, and I was wrong that night.
Oh,
who was that?
Who was it?
It was an early knockout.
Now?
I can't remember now either.
It
wasn't
Earl Spence, was it?
I think it was. Yeah, I would have lost my money on that one too. So you know, like Joey just said, you know, he's tough. You never know. I don't think I put my money on it, but that's why I don't bet, because I tend to be wrong. So
Brady.
What? I kinda...
Figueroa or Guerrero?
I think Guerrero.
Whoa!
Hey.
Going with the aged. All right, good man.
Sparing.
Yeah, I got to say, Brady's probably going to be the only one that'll come out on top. So I'm going with Figueroa also.
Yeah,
I had to eat a lot of crow Kovalev got beat up. It doesn't taste good, boys. And you make a big prediction, and that damn thing's on your plate. You got to eat it. Yeah, remember?
Yeah, I would have put my money on Kovalev too. Those three I would have lost.
Well, you could eat part of my crow. I had to eat a lot of crow on that one. I got the hell needled out of me for that fight. There's no way you're gonna do that.
I was in the third row when Kovalev beat B-Hop. And I had my I would have had my money on him that night too, so don't feel bad.
That doesn't help much.
No. Well, guys, we're at the end of our time here. Todd, I'd like to thank you for coming on. I appreciate it every time you come on. Joey, we'll
thank
always
you very
be
much
in your corner
me.
Here, buddy.
Thank you. I appreciate
thanks
it.
For coming.
Good luck, Joey.
Joey,
thank
we
you.
Got
thank
something
you.
Coming up for
hello
yourself
your
or
dad.
For Todd.
I will.
And you, please give us a call. Just send me a text. We'll put you on the radio, and we'll get to try and get some crowd up for you.
Thank you very much. We'll be in touch. Thank you.
All right, guys.
Okay.
All right, guys. I guess I'll hear you next week. I'll listen to all your predictions next week. All right?
Take it easy, Doc. Right.
Hey, we never had our lunch, guys. We never had our lunch. We never got out to eat.
Yeah.
Is your wife still in business behind Panera's down there? Are you guys in business?
Oh yeah, that's my brother's wife. Yeah. She's still down there.
She's doing okay.
Yeah, I'm actually doing sparring and training. Trying to train some up and coming guys in Wilmington sitting in the middle of the city where the shops are at on 9th Street.
Okay.
Good.
I'm usually there
I'm usually there in the mornings, you know, until around 12. So anytime, you know, you can
all
stop
right.
in.
Okay.
Good.
All right, we'll hook up. Sooner or later, we got to hook up. All
right,
guys,
right.
I'll see you. See you
all
next
right.
week.
Nice. Take care.
Bye.
Right. Take it easy, Doc.
Ladies and gentlemen, these programs are brought to you each and every night of the week in grateful appreciation to the men and women of the United States Armed Forces, men and women of Police and Fire Services. When you're out there and you see somebody in uniform, just let them know that you know they're there. These programs are also dedicated to those who have lost their lives in the line of duty. Deputy Robert Anthony Carroll, Patrolman David Curtis, Patrolman Jeffrey Colcap, Sergeant Thomas Bainger, Patrolman Jeffrey Yazowitz, Patrolman David Crawford, Detective Randy Bell, Detective Ricky Childers, San Diego Officer Mike Henler, Lieutenant Mike Zerba, Newcastle County Police, Patrolman Alarfo Crispin, Lakeland PD, Deputy Barbara Pell, Broward County Sheriff's Office, Chief Al Hogle, Longboat Key Police Department, Chief Jimmy Ford, Wilmington Fire Department, Highway Patrolman Alonzo Moses, Philadelphia Police Department, Highway Patrolman Brian Lazaro, Philadelphia Police Department, Highway Patrolman Brian Murphy, Plymouth Township PA Highway Patrol, Lieutenant Bob Neary, Philadelphia Fire Department, Deputy Chief Mike Godwin, Philadelphia Fire Department, MIT Officer Sean Collier, Sergeant Mike Wilson, Charlotte County Sheriff's Office, Deputy Jonathan Scott Pine, Orange County Sheriff's Department, Patrolman Robert Jermaine, Windermere, Florida Police Department, Trooper Chelsea Richards, Florida Highway Patrol, Fire Lieutenant Joyce Craig Lewis, Philadelphia Fire Department, Patrolman Charlie Condit, Tarpon Springs Police Department, Patrol Sergeant Robert Wilson, Philadelphia Police Department, Louisiana Trooper Steve Vincent, Harris County Deputy Sheriff Darrell Goforth, Prince William County Deputy Sheriff Ashley Gidden, Euless, Texas Patrol Officer David Heffer, Hillsborough County Deputy Sheriff Charlie Kotloff, Captain Chris Leach, Wilmington Fire Department, Lieutenant Jerry Ficus, Wilmington Fire Department, Sergeant Balto Salto, New York Police Department, Special Investigator Inspector Vinny Galaccio, Florida Department of Law Enforcement, Lieutenant Ardith Hope, Wilmington Fire Department, and Corporal Stephen Ballard, Delaware State Police. My brothers and sisters, although you're 10-7 at this point in time, sometime we'll be 10-10 at the table of the Lord. Until that time, may the roads rise up to meet you. May the winds be always at your back. May the rains fall softly on your fields and the sun shine lightly on your face. Until we meet again, may the good Lord keep you and your families always in the hollow of his hands. Good night, God bless, and have a great, safe week.
Shem alekma yilama, shem ahezah yilama, son ashen evorat fet, hakuig again mae. My heart is sore, my tears.
County Dispatch. It's in 1999. All units be advised, 1999 is responding to his last emergency. May God rest his soul.